his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three of them with Daniel made this purposing, and therefore they were empowered by God and blessed by God. You recall that they were along with many other select young Jewish men, were instructed by the king to eat what he ate and drink what he drank. And Daniel said that he didn't want to do that. And the man in charge of him said, but if you don't, then when you stand before the king and my interpretation, you look scrawny and anemic, then my head's on the chopping block. And so Daniel said, well, tell you what, test us for 10 days. Just let us eat pulse. Now I went and looked up what pulse is. Vegetables, grains. That's what pulse is. And he said, let us eat, in other words, according to our dietary laws, because eating what the king wanted them to eat would have been against the dietary laws of the Jews. And so Daniel said, we want to eat our way. And so for just 10 days. Now, surely God had to become involved, because a 10-day change of diet. You know, today they celebrated birthdays at the library where I work. And they had a box of donuts. Uh-huh. And they had a small selection of fruit. Now, I want you to know, I had 10 pieces of cantaloupe. No. 6 pieces of cantaloupe and 1 piece of pineapple. Uh-huh. And 2 donuts. Now, I know if I didn't eat donuts for 10 days and just ate vegetables, believe me, I know it would not make the difference that it made in Daniel. God became involved in that 10-day trial and testing. And Daniel and his three friends. Now, you see, it's my opinion that the other young men that, you know, and we know they were select young men. These were all goodly young men. They were. I don't know if attractive in the sense of appearance, but they had reasons. The guy who went through all the Jewish young men, he found those with ability and skills, and I'm guessing that their very physical stature and all was good. And the bottom line is they were selected. And so it's my opinion that these other young people who didn't do what Daniel did to eat according to the Jewish dietary laws, it's my opinion that these other young people did not want to displease God. However, their determination was lacking.
That's right. Yep.
And therefore, it was superseded by the appeal of the immediate benefits. You get to eat what the king eats. You get to drink what the king drinks. You get the favor of the king and all of his people and all of these, and then what that would mean for them in the future. Now, how long was it? 2 years? 3 years? They were going to eat like that? And then at the end of that, they were going to be, I mean, this wasn't just, you know, for fun. These guys were being prepared for places wherein they could serve the king in his kingdom. And like I say, I don't think they wanted to displease God. It's just that they did not have the determination of Daniel and his three friends to please God. And as a result, they went with what was of immediate benefit. Therein is the problem that 75% of the Christians in the United States of America live with. Okay, you say, where'd you come up with that figure? Just pulled it out of the air, okay? There is certainly a high percentage of people that I believe know the Lord as Savior. They don't want to displease Him, but they have not determined to live for the long haul. They haven't determined to look at the big picture. They just look at what the immediate is. And in the immediate, I have the friendship of my neighbors, my relatives. And boy, I'll tell you, if anybody has in their family, their extended family, if they have started to live faithfully for Jesus Christ, then the pressure from family comes. And the difficulty from family comes. And that's one of the things that causes people many times to back off, you see. So they don't have that pressure from the family. And so they are looked upon more favorably. Well, that's what these young men did. All these young men, not the four of them, but all of the rest. You see, they determined they wanted the immediate benefits, and so that's what they took. Somebody goes to work and they're going to live for the Lord. It's going to mean they're going to get harassed. They're going to have a hard time, and that's not always true. And praise the Lord when a Christian works at a place where he doesn't get harassed for being a Christian and living his faith. But very, very frequently they do. And so many just, they can't put up with that pressure. They have to have that acceptance of the others. And so they purposed, Daniel and these other three purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. And so they went ahead and ate the way they should, and God got involved, and then they were looked upon and wow. And we know Daniel was smart, okay? And again, he may have had some natural brilliance, but God used Daniel.
That's right.
God gave Daniel insight. God gave Daniel understanding, so that when Daniel would speak, it would be known, okay? And you'd have to read the whole story of Daniel, and that's not my purpose, but you see over and over again how Daniel was blessed by God and was used by God and had an unusual kind of power in his life and served under, what was it, three different major kings, I think it was. Just think about that. That's like somebody that today, and of course a king's term goes longer than 4 years, 8 years, like our presidents go, okay? They can go 20 years or whatever. And he lived under three different kings that he served under. Now, if you have circumstances, if you have interests, if you have desires that make living for Christ difficult, the only solution is to yield to the control of God. And you need to give up. Okay? Not give up living for the Lord, but give up those other things. To end the struggle, to end the conflict, to end the confusion, to end the lack of peace. You need to give up and let God put purpose into your life or back into your life. In the case of a Christian who once lived for the Lord and got away from God, now they need to get back to the life that they have. And why is it that we want so often what we want we don't experience? True sincere wanting, true sincere desiring. We've got to make that determination. Turn, if you will, please, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. I'm going to start reading at verse 18. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Then Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now he's not saying there that it's okay for us to serve the law of God with our mind, but you can go ahead and serve the law of sin with your flesh. You know, he's not setting up a dual experience and living. He's just saying that this is what happens. And so here Paul is talking about having a desire to live for God, but he is also incorporating in what he's teaching that he has a determination. So he's having the same experience Daniel did. Daniel had all of the temptations that the other select young men had. Okay? He was human. And he wasn't automatically a little goody-two-shoes that always wanted to do things just right. No, Daniel had the same temptations that the others had. It's just he purposed in his heart. And Paul, the same way, what Paul is telling us here is that the flesh is so constantly appealed to with self-gratification and the law of sin. And so what he tells us here, however, is that there's another law, the law of God at work in my life. And that law of God at work in my life is what enables me to live for God and to serve God. And so the law, as it's used here, is referring to influence or compelling influences to action. The law of God, of course, is the specific set of standards to live by, the specific guidelines that God would put out for us to live by. And then, of course, when he talks about the law of my mind, that can be considered our will. And so you got a lot of different uses of the term law here. And when you read them, you have to read it, and you've got to go back and read it again. You go back and read it again, and okay, I think I understood it. Read it a third time.
Amen.
And just about the third time you've read it, now you'll really be confused, okay? Because what he's talking about is what goes on inside of us. Okay? Reading it in black and white on the paper is one thing, but we live it. We live it. You turn the TV on. And program comes on. Oh, that's a funny program. Yeah, but it's a dirty one, so you better not watch it. You see? And then, you know, turn the radio on in the car. Not anymore.
Come on.
Shouldn't listen to that kind of music anymore. It's not going to help you.
Right.
You see? You say, well, I'm going to turn to the Christian station. Well, you better get selective there too. Might be good to just buy some CDs and put them in. Okay. So there's so much that goes on in our life that's always pressuring us and pushing us in the wrong directions. And I'm talking about us now who want to do right. We want to live right. Go back to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start reading at verse 11. Go through quite a few verses here. Romans 6, 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, that's what Daniel did. He reckoned himself, he accounted himself to be dead to the things of the Babylonian kingdom. He was dead to the things of King Nebuchadnezzar. He was going to be alive to God. He says in verse 12, Paul is speaking here, of course, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. It's there, but don't let it control.
That's right.
This old nature of ours, it's there until we take our last breath. And then, hallelujah, it won't be a problem anymore. But until then, it's there. Don't feel guilty for being human.
That's right.
But we should feel guilty for yielding to that humanness. We should feel guilty as Christians for giving into what we're told to resist. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal. We have control over it. Let not. That's what I must do. Not let sin reign in this mortal body. To obey it in the lusts, the evil desires thereof. Then verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Watch what you get children saw. Little eyes, be careful what you see. Little ears, be careful what you hear. Yeah, the members of our body should not be to unrighteousness. But rather, here it is in verse 13, yield yourselves unto God. That's what Daniel did. That's what Daniel did. He yielded himself to God. The other young men didn't do that. They allowed sin to reign in their bodies. They weren't wanting to displease God, but they didn't want to please him enough that they would deny it. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? He said, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield, here's the key. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. So Daniel yielded himself to be a servant of God. Now, God worked through that to take care of Daniel when there was an earthly king.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I wonder if God would work to take care of us when we yield to him in this earthly life that we live.
Good. Amen.
You see, people we're around, places we're at, and God will take care of us. God will work for us. And besides that, too many Christians have a wimp attitude. I go, oh my goodness, if I do that, people are going to really give me a hard time. Oh, too bad, pansy. I mean, really, think about it. I mean, these tough macho guys, you know. I'm going to put a earring in my ear. I'm going to wear some gold necklaces around me. And I'm going to have on some really colorful sneakers. Kind of tough. What? You don't like my Jesus? Okay, I won't say anything. Believe me, there are preachers out there who would do real justice to what I just attempted to do. I've heard some of them, and it's sweet to hear them, okay? Because they know just how to deal with this life that we live in, this society that we're in. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were, oh, I like this, ye were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, those teachings which were delivered. And then being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's where it comes. You see, he makes us servants of righteousness. Now, think about Daniel. Well, how did it go for Daniel? Well, it didn't hurt him, did it? Indeed not. You know, how many of those other, great number of them? We know three other young men, and we know how it went for them.
Yep.
But you think of all them others.
That's right.
You don't even know a name. You never hear, and those others, they went on to achieve this and that. No, you don't hear it. Because God wasn't working in them. He worked in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't live by circumstances. We need to live by Christ. Don't live by conditions. We need to live by convictions. Don't live by what strikes your fancy. Live by the faith, the embodiment of the truth that God has given to us. I want to turn to 2 Thessalonians, and with this I'll close. Now this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is said in regards to the second coming events. And I'm lifting a phrase in the one verse out of that context. It is stipulated having to do with the second coming events of Christ. But I believe it well words what we're looking at when it says we need to be yielded to God. And that's in chapter 2, and verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us. That ye be not soon easily or quickly shaken. We need to have the determination to do right, to stand right, to be right. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to be knotheaded. That doesn't mean that we ought to be belligerent. That doesn't mean that we ought to be obnoxious. No, we need to be kind and loving and demonstrate Jesus Christ. But don't forget, the Jesus we're demonstrating was firm and took that whip and chased the money changers out of the temple. So he was no milk toaster or pansy. He was a real man.
That's right.
And so when you can be a man, we can still be kind. You can stand for truth and not have to be unkind. And people ought not to react. They ought not to react against how we live the Christian faith. They ought to react against the fact that we live the Christian faith. It ought to be truth that they're rejecting, not our way of proclaiming the truth. Oh, I remember one fella. He would go on visitation. He went on visitation a couple times with me. And he would... If he saw an ashtray, if he saw a pack of cigarettes in a pocket, or, Lord forbid, if he saw a guy puffing on a cigarette, that's what he would turn that witnessing opportunity into a tirade against tobacco. Now, first of all, the person we were talking to was not saved. So it really didn't matter. Okay? It didn't matter. That wasn't his biggest need to stop smoking.
That's right.
His biggest need was to get saved.
Right. Yeah.
But as soon as my Christian friend would get diverted and begin to fight against what, you know, whatever, usually it was tobacco, then you know, I wanted to turn to him a couple different things and say, look, we may as well just quit and go home right now, because you just blew the whole thing. And then, you know, let somebody, some other Christian worker come along and knock on the door, okay? And we need, when we are witnessing to people and telling people about Jesus Christ, we need to do it in such a way as we don't close the door for somebody else to come along. We may not be the one that can make progress in the presentation of Christ. Maybe God will use somebody else, but we need to make sure that we don't hinder when that other person comes
That's
along.
Right, yes.
Okay, all right, now we're done. We're gonna go to prayer, all right? So like Daniel, we need the purpose in our hearts to serve the Lord, amen. Hey, I didn't mic up.
Amen.
You noticed that, huh?
Thank you so much, sweetheart.